Today's sermon is titled, What is the Law? And the purpose of today's sermon is to explain what is the law in the New Testament. Ever since Seventh-day Adventism came into existence, one thing that we've been doing is emphasizing that the Ten Commandments are still binding. Just so you all know, friends, I'm still a firm believer in that. The Ten Commandments are still binding. But many of us have emphasized the Bible talking about two different types of law. The Ten Commandments, which we often call the moral law, and the law of commandments contained in ordinances, which we commonly call the ceremonial law. Let me grant you that there is one place in the New Testament where Paul does make that distinction. I'll read it to you. Speaking of Jesus Christ, Paul says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So there Paul does specifically mention the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Otherwise, we're going to see today what the word law actually meant to the New Testament writers. I'll share with you something from personal experience. When I was in Bible college, the common tendency was any time you saw the word law in the New Testament was to read into the text. Is the author talking about the moral law or the ceremonial law? That was the common tendency. It wouldn't surprise me if many others have done the same. But again, we'll see today what the word law actually meant to the New Testament writers. So what many of us have done is we have read our own way of thinking into the minds of the New Testament authors. Let's turn together to the book of Matthew, chapter 19. And we'll start with verse 16. We'll read verses 16 to 19. Matthew 19, 16 to 19. This is the story of Jesus speaking to the rich young ruler. It reads, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Notice, Jesus said, if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Hear what he says afterward. He saith unto him, which? That was the rich young ruler asking. Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. That's the thou shalt not kill commandment. So there he specifically defines it as referring to murder. Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Notice most of the time Jesus quoted the Ten Commandments. But notice the last one he quoted, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Remember, Jesus calls that particular commandment the second great commandment. That comes from Leviticus 19:18, friends. That's not the Ten Commandments, and it's not the ceremonial law. But he says it's a commandment. And remember, Jesus said, if thou wilt enter into life, meaning eternal life, keep the commandments. So, obedience to God's commandments or his law is a condition of our salvation. And with that understanding, it is an issue of importance to the converted believer. So let's turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Verse Again, we have emphasized that the Ten Commandments are still binding and that the ceremonial law is no longer binding. Just so you all understand, friends, I am still a firm believer that the Ten Commandments are still binding and that the ceremonial law is no longer binding. We're simply going to see what the law was to the New Testament authors. Luke chapter 24, verses 44 and 45. And he, meaning Jesus, said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Just so you all know, as we go along, I'll show what this verse has to do with defining the law in the New Testament. Verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Remember, the scriptures back then were the Old Testament scriptures, the books we know, pardon me, as Genesis to Malachi. So, notice that in verse 44, Jesus is dividing the Old Testament scriptures into three categories: the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. If you look up law of Moses in a dictionary, you can look it up on Merriam-Webster.com, or in this building, there's a copy of Webster's New World Dictionary, College Edition. You can look it up in there. Actually, in there, it tells you to look it up under Mosaic Law. You'll find out that Law of Moses is another name for the five books of Moses, Genesis to Deuteronomy. Many of us have been taught, I used to say this myself, that the Law of Moses is the ceremonial law, specifically. But the truth is, it includes the ceremonial law. But Law of Moses is really a name for the five books of Moses. Again, Genesis to Deuteronomy. With that understanding, friends, the Law of Moses also includes the Ten Commandments. After all, we have them written in the book of Exodus. So let's turn to the book of John. John chapter 1, verse 45. It reads, John chapter 1, verse 45, "Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and in the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Notice that it says Moses in the law wrote of Jesus. Let's find out, what did Moses say about him? Let's turn to John 6:14. We'll look up more verses in John, then we'll go to Deuteronomy. John 6:14. It reads, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Then John chapter 7, verse 40. John 7, verse 40. "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet." So notice, friends, in John chapter 1, it says that Moses, in the law, wrote of Jesus. And in the verses we just looked up, John 6 and John 7, it says that Jesus is that prophet that should come into the world. So let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy and find out what prophet they're talking about. Deuteronomy chapter 18. We'll read verses 15 and 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 and 18. It reads, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 and 18, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. Verse 18, same chapter. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Now, we don't need to turn to the book of Acts, but if you read Acts chapter 3, verses 22 and 26, you'll find Peter quoting Deuteronomy 18. And Peter tells you at the end of the chapter, it's talking about Jesus. So, again, friends, in the book of John, this particular part of Scripture is referred to as the law. It says that Moses wrote of Jesus in the law. He foretold that there would be a prophet. God told him there would be a prophet. And this, friends, is not the Ten Commandments, and it's not the ceremonial law. Nonetheless, this part of Scripture is being referred to as the law. In the same book, Deuteronomy, let's turn to chapter 19, verse 15. Deuteronomy, chapter 19, verse 15. It reads, "One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity, or for any sin, or in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established." This is where we get the principle. I'm sure you're all familiar with it. Two or three witnesses. There it is. In Deuteronomy 19:15. Two or three witnesses. Now let's read what Jesus says about this verse that we just read. Two or three witnesses. Let's go back to the book of John, chapter 8, verse 17. John chapter 8, verse 17. This is Jesus speaking. John 8, 17. He says, "It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true." That's the principle. Two or three witnesses. And Jesus said, what did he say? "It's written in your law," he said. Again, friends, he's not talking about the Ten Commandments, and he's not talking about the ceremonial law. He's talking about the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 19. And he called it the law. Let's turn to one more place in Scripture for the five books of Moses. Let's turn to Romans 13. You have John, then Acts, then Romans. Romans 13, starting with verse 8. Romans 13, starting with verse 8. The Apostle Paul says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." Amen. Notice, Paul quotes also the Ten Commandments. He refers to the Ten Commandments as the law. One thing you want to keep in mind, in Paul's lifetime, God's people did not have the Ark of the Covenant with them. So Paul also learns the Ten Commandments from where? From the Scriptures. From the books of Moses. So the book of Exodus, which has the Ten Commandments in it, also falls under the law. And then he said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," which we read earlier, Jesus quoting. Again, friends, that's Leviticus 19:18. Now again, Leviticus 19:18 is not the Ten Commandments or the ceremonial law. But Paul calls that the law. So we see the five books of Moses are referred to in the New Testament as the law. We see that. One of the categories that Jesus split the Old Testament into in Luke chapter 24. So let's find out about another category Jesus split in the Old Testament into. We'll just turn to two places in the Bible for this one. 1 Corinthians, the very next book. 1 Corinthians 14:21. 1 Corinthians 14:21. It reads, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:21, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will, they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Notice Paul says at the beginning of the verse, in the law it is written. Paul is quoting the prophet Isaiah here. And he says, in the law it is written. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 28:11-12. Isaiah 28:11-12. It reads, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Notice, friends, that the wording is a little different when you go back to the Old Testament. There is a reason for that. Keep in mind, the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek. And when the apostles wrote their books in Greek, when quoting the Old Testament, they quoted the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. So naturally, when verses are translated to English from Hebrew and others from Greek, naturally the wording will come out a little different. Nonetheless, Paul quoted Isaiah in 1 Corinthians 14:21. And friends, what section of the Old Testament is Isaiah found in? The prophets. And Paul said, in the law it is written. In other words, friends, Paul called the prophets the law. So far we have seen two sections of the Old Testament being called the law. The five books of Moses and the prophets. What about the Psalms? Let's turn to John 10. We'll go from John, then to Psalms, then back to John. John 10. I'm sure you've probably already noticed, I'm not taking the time to explain every verse we're looking up word for word. However, I'll admit, the text we're looking up now is one that piques a lot of people's curiosities. So just as food for thought, I'll share this with you, that in today's English, when we use the word God, of course we use it commonly as a name for our Father in heaven, a name or a title, and when it's used, I'll put it this way, when you use it with a lowercase g, it's used as a term referring to supreme beings that different people believe in. Those are the ways we commonly use that word in today's English. But in older English, if you look it up in Webster's 1828 dictionary, you'll find this definition. It can mean judges, magistrates, mighty ones, rulers, angels. And that same definition is in ancient Hebrew, possibly also in ancient Greek. I haven't checked that one yet. But what matters the most is Jesus here is quoting an Old Testament verse. And again, in ancient Hebrew, God has that meaning, mighty ones. We'll start with verse 30, John chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus says, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." They didn't believe Jesus to be God. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, ye are gods'? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him, whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God?" So again, I won't go over that word for word, but the main point is Jesus says, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, ye are gods'?" He's quoting the Psalms here. So let's go to Psalm 82. I have to leave you on your own to study those verses word for word. But we'll turn to Psalm 82 to see what Jesus is quoting. We'll start with verse 1. Psalm 82, starting with verse 1. It reads, "God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods." Same chapter, verses 6 and 7. "I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes." So there's the chapter in the Psalms that Jesus is referring to. And notice, Jesus said, "Is it not written in your," what did he say? "Law." So Jesus there in John 10 calls the Psalms the law. So we have seen the five books of Moses being called the law. We have seen the prophets being called the law. Now we find the Psalms being called the law. Let's turn to two more places in the Psalms. Let's turn to Psalm 35, 19. We will turn together to five more places in the Bible. Psalm 35, 19. It says in Psalm 35, 19, "Let them not that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause." We have a lot of expressions, without a cause, rebel without a cause, and so on. Notice it says, "Hate me without a cause." Jesus quotes that in the book of John. But before we go there, there's one other psalm where we find that. Psalm 69, verse 4. Let's turn there. Here David says, "They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away." Notice he says, "They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head." So in both of those verses we find that. The psalmist saying, "They that hate me without a cause." Jesus quotes those verses. Let's turn to John 15, 25. Back to the New Testament. John 15, 25. Jesus says, "But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." He's quoting the Psalms. So again, friends, we have seen the five books of Moses referred to as the law. We have seen the prophets referred to as the law. Now we have seen the Psalms referred to as the law. Those are the three categories that Jesus split the Old Testament into in the book of Luke, chapter 24. So with this understanding, friends, what was the law to the New Testament writers? It was the Old Testament. The Old Testament scriptures. What I'm sharing with you, friends, today is nothing original. It was mentioned in our last quarterly from 2017. To the New Testament authors, the law was the Old Testament, the Old Testament scriptures. And to us as Christians today, the law would be the entire Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Thy word, our law. Next week I'll be talking about what it means to be under the law. And at the same time, we'll learn what is the law in Galatians next week. In the meantime, let us turn together to two places in closing. Galatians 5, 6, and 14. Galatians 5, 6, and 14. It says, the Apostle Paul says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." And friends, it is my hope and my prayer that every one of us here has or will have the faith which works by love. After all, that is our reason for loving our Lord, is it not? He first loved us. And for that reason, we obey His law. Remember, David loved his law. We obey the commandments God has given us in the Old and New Testaments. Verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." There you have that again. Paul quoting Leviticus 19:18. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let us turn to the book of Deuteronomy, our last place turning together. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And it reads, remember, this is what Jesus calls the first great commandment. And he's quoting Deuteronomy 6, 5. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." So our first great commandment is to love the Lord our God. And Jesus gives us the second one, which I'll simply read to you. I'll read to you the original from the book of Leviticus. "Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." Leviticus 19:18. Again, friends, I do hope and pray that every one of us will have that faith which works by love, that we will each love the Lord our God supremely. And in loving the Lord our God supremely, that we will love our neighbors as ourselves. And that we will be doers of the word and not hearers only. And that God's holy scriptures will be our law. And that we will be keepers of God's law. Amen. May God bless you as you continue your walk with Him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for giving us your holy scriptures. We thank you for the instructions therein. We thank you so much for revealing to us the plan of salvation. And we pray that your Spirit will continue to comfort and teach us. And we pray that you will help us to live every day according to thy will. We ask that you help us to do all things through Christ, who strengthens us. And we pray that you will help us to make your word every day our law. And we also pray that you will help us to remain patient and faithful until the second coming of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we thank you that again for giving him to us. And we thank you that because of him, we can have the hope of eternal salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.